Well, today we will cover Jesus' parable of the minas, or the parable of the pounds. It gets translated different ways. And Jesus told this parable right after he met Zacchaeus. In fact, one of the commentators thought that it was very likely in the presence of Zacchaeus when Jesus says, "I'm going to come and stay at your house." It was during this time. But anyway, regardless, he's still in Jericho. He has not come to Jerusalem yet. So that's where he tells this parable. And the reason that the text gives about why Jesus told this parable is the people had a false concept. Now, we remember he's going with all these Israelites that are going to Jerusalem for the Passover. So he's with a big caravan of people, and they realize that Jesus is the Messiah, and they are ready to crown him king. They think that he's going to come into his kingdom. When he goes into Jerusalem, he's going to take over as king. I guess kick Herod out, and he will be the king of Jerusalem. So he tells them this parable to let them know that things are not going to be as you're thinking. They're not going to follow this timeline. I'm not going to go in and be king of the Jews and be the king of Jerusalem in Judea here whenever we go into Jerusalem. Okay. What I thought is we may, the order that I've planned to cover this, first we're going to read these first two paragraphs that Kaufman wrote, then we'll read the analogies, then I'll just give an overview of the parable, and then after we sing, then I'll read the actual parable itself. So we may kind of be going in reverse order, but we talked about it, and I kind of think that this might be maybe the most effective. And then, Lord willing, next week we'll read the rest of this page that Kaufman has written. Okay, so Kaufman said there are four reasons why Jesus spoke this parable. The first one is, it was to teach that the kingdom of God will not take place immediately. Which, see, it was going to be 2 months from now, on the day of Pentecost, covered in Acts 2. So it was not going to be whenever they first go into Jerusalem. It wasn't going to be this time frame at all. Number two, that the kingdom will not bring with it a Jewish political triumph. So he's not going to be reigning in Jerusalem as the king of Judea. That never was going to be that in where he would reign in the temple or anything like that. That as a false concept that Jesus was trying to straighten out with this parable. Number three, that all of Jesus' followers must work faithfully until he comes. And four, that the final judgment is the time when the faithful will be rewarded and the unfaithful and the hostile will be punished. Okay, now the next statement Kaufman has is, this parable is unique to Luke and encompasses a wide spectrum of teaching far beyond that found in any other parable. Which that's a pretty profound statement there, and he even, at the bottom of this analogies, he has another sentence that is basically the same thing. He thinks that this is the most profound and the deepest parable that Jesus ever taught. Which that surprised me about that. But Kaufman is really impressed with this parable. He thinks this is the greatest of Jesus' parables. Okay. One portion of this parable, the detail of the 10 servants and the 10 pounds entrusted to them, does in fact recall Matthew's parable of the 10 talents, but the lessons and analogies in view are utterly different. Okay. Here are the analogies in this parable of the minas, or the pounds. The nobleman is Jesus the Messiah, and the nobleman going into the far country is Jesus' ascension to God in heaven and the nobleman's receiving of a kingdom is analogous to Jesus' reigning over his kingdom and his citizens refusing the nobleman is secular Israel's rejection. And then the delegation that was sent refusing the nobleman is analogous to the Jews saying, "We have no king but Caesar." And also when the Jews said to Pilate, "Don't write that Jesus is the king of the Jews, but write that he says that he's the king of the Jews." And then that's when Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." And then the 10 servants are all of the servants of the Messiah in his kingdom. And then when the nobleman says, "Trade until I come back," is analogous to the faithful work of Christians until Jesus returns. The 10 pounds are the trust that God gives to every man. Now, is either, I believe it was Clark. I like his analogy. It makes more sense to me. What Clark said is that these 10 pounds represents, it is the New Testament. And every, here, this is a difference in this parable and then the parable that Jesus gave of the parable of the talents. There you had three people. One got 10 talents, one got five, one got one. Here, all 10 people get the same amount. They all get 10 minus. And what Clark said is that is representative of the New Testament. Everyone is on an equal playing field. No one has any advantage or disadvantage. Everyone's given the same thing, given the Bible that we all can use in the work in God's kingdom. So I like that better than the trust God gives to every man, but it's God gave every human his word. The one who gained 10 minus off of the 10 that he was given is the faithful Christian. And the one who gained only 5 is a faithful Christian but has less ability. And then the one who hid his pound is the wicked and unfaithful servant who refused to work in God's kingdom. Okay, then the 10 cities and the 5 cities are different kinds of employment in heaven. The taking away of the pound that the nobleman did after he returned is the punishment of the unfaithful servants. The slaying of the nobleman's enemies is the judgment. It's two things. The judgment of Jerusalem in the short term, that was the slaying of his enemies, and that is also representative of slaying this delegation of people who refused and said, "No, we don't want this nobleman reigning over us." So in the near term, this slaying of the enemies was when God had Jerusalem destroyed by the Romans. But also then, to a longer extent, it's eternal judgment is the slaying of his enemies eternally. So that's at least a dual meaning, understanding of that. Then the return of the nobleman, of course, is the second coming of Christ. Then the extended absence of the nobleman, since he went away into a far country, is the long period of time before the second coming. And so far that's been 2,000 years. And it could be another 2,000. We have no idea how much longer it's going to be. But we can see that's much longer time frame than what obviously the people in the first century anticipated. They thought he would come back much sooner. They wouldn't have had any concept that it was going to be more than 2,000 years. There are several. Okay, now here's this other sentence that he has here. There are several analogies in this parable, which will be noted below. And these analogies and the understanding of this makes this parable by far the most extensive of Jesus's parables. So Kaufman is very, very impressed with this, and it's very deep. But ultimately, what this is, what this parable is about, Jesus says there is a nobleman that goes away to a far country to obtain a kingdom. And then there's a group of citizens here in his locality, in the hometown. They said, no, we do not want this nobleman reigning over us. And so they make a petition, a delegation, to try to block him from reigning over them. And he's gone a long time. But before he leaves, he sets up these 10 servants to work in his kingdom, and he expected to find them still working and being productive in his kingdom until he returns, because it's going to be a long time. And so then he returns, and he finds, and now Jesus just tells about 3 of these 10, but Kaufman said that all 10 of these men would fit in the same 3 categories. You have some that are the most productive, some that are less productive, and some that refuse to produce anything at all. So all people of God's kingdom will fall into one of these 3 categories. So that's why Jesus didn't have talk about all 10 of the men, because all 10 will fall into these 3 categories. So then the one man produced 10 pounds out of the, or 10 minas of the, from the 10 that he was given. One only produced 5 from the 10 that he was given. And one, he didn't do anything. He just buried it. And so, as a result, he just returned back. And now he gives a criticism, a false criticism of Jesus by saying, well, I knew that you were an austere man, and that you reaped where you did not sow. And so I decided not to participate. And what I believe this was McGarvey said, really this was a slap in the face and a harsh criticism on Jesus and God. By what he was saying is, you want me to do all the work for you. You're going away to a kingdom, and you expect me to stay here and do all the hard work for you? No, I'm not going to do it. You're wanting to reap and gain a profit off of my labor? I'm not doing it. And that is the punishment that which I had never gotten that concept at all. Yeah, this one, he did not want to do any work and let somebody else gain the profit is how he saw that. He said, no, you did no sowing, but you're going to reap all the profits. I'm not going to do all the sowing for you. In fact, I'm not going to do any of it. A difference in the parable of the talents and this parable of the minas that Kaufman said is that there's a different now. Clark thought that this was the same parable and that Matthew just kind of got this confused or something. But no, and Kaufman really talked against that. He never mentioned Clark by name, but I read Clark and he thought this was the same parable. But just as his little statement here that there are utterly different analogies and symbolisms in this parable versus the parable of the talents. Number one, you have the same three men that are mentioned in that one, and you get 3 on the back end. But originally here in this, there were 10 people that were the servants that were left. But the big difference is Kaufman said the parable of the talents was given, he was talking straight to the apostles on that one. Here, he's talking to this big group of people that are convoying to Jerusalem, all the Israelites. So this is to the whole congregation, the whole group of people. And here in the parable of the minas, everyone's given the exact same. They're all given 10 minas. Whereas the parable of the talents, one was given 10, one was given 5, and one was only given 1. And that was given to the apostles. And Kaufman said that this was analogous to the much greater responsibility that God and Jesus was entrusting to the apostles more than the members of God's kingdom. So there was a greater responsibility and a greater production that God was expecting out of the apostles than he was of his members. That was the explanation of the 10 and 5 and 1 of the parable of the talents. And that was to not to the regular members of God's kingdom. That was to these apostles. Whereas this is talking about every member of God's kingdom here. And that's why everyone's given the same 10. And here's the other difference. A talent is worth 20 times more than a mina is worth. And so that, Kaufman said, that also is evidence that there was much more given and expected from the apostles than to the members of God's kingdom after the apostleship was abolished. Okay, that's good points there. Any other questions or comments? What I thought then I would close with here on this introduction is a verse in Revelation 21, verse 2, that this is very consistent with this parable that Jesus was telling about, that he was going to be going away and receiving a kingdom, and then these people are supposed to be working in this kingdom. Well, Revelation 21, 2 says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So, this is the fulfillment that God allowed John to see this vision. And God's kingdom was established on the day of Pentecost, and it came down out of heaven. So Jesus went to heaven, obtained God's kingdom. God sent his kingdom from heaven to earth. And then the husband remained away. And then the bride, being God's kingdom, went to, was on earth and will be here waiting for the husband's return. So this is the consistent with Jesus' teaching on this parable also. So I think we'll finish with that if there are no other questions or comments.
So the kingdom is the church.
The kingdom is the church, yes. Yes, and it came out of heaven. And see, this is analogous with Jesus saying he went, the nobleman went away to obtain this kingdom. He went to heaven, obtained the kingdom, God sent it to earth, and that is what was expected for the servants to be working in until the king, until the husband returns.
Exactly.